You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday presented, as always, by DraftKings. Love those dudes and dudettes, for that matter. And love each and every one of you that are a part of all of our broadcasts every week, especially the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I do have winners from last week that I picked out. Those of you that did your little contribution, whether it's spreading the word via social media, at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod, or even rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you could take advantage of one of our sponsors, which I love, and the YouTube shout-outs are awesome. Just a comment on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Absolutely love all of that. If I have time at the end of today's show, I will announce the winners for last week. Love the fact that we are in April now, which means the NFL draft is this month. Definitely, I mean definitely, binge listen or binge watch all of the college draft episodes. They've been fantastic with Emery. We're recording another one this morning. And then, of course, Greg Cosell on Thursdays. He's been going through position by position. So you can be as informed on the draft as anybody if you go through those. Tomorrow on the Even Money Betting Podcast, we're going to look at the season win totals. I haven't decided yet if we're going to do AFC or NFC, but you're going to want to listen to that as well. Other than that, how about getting a former NFL MVP on the show? Longtime Seahawks running back Sean Alexander. It's big show time.
The big show.
Well, it's not every day you get a chance to talk to a guy that was on the cover of the Madden video game, which is funny, right? Because he's got so many accolades from college and all pro and all these things. And yet, when you look at him and you think about him, that's one of the first things you think about. He's, of course, longtime Seahawks running back Sean Alexander. Sean, is that the thing that people mention the most to you? Like, when people talk to you, what do they usually say? Do they bring up the Madden more than anything else?
It's crazy because it really depends on the area I'm in. You know, Alabama folks, that's all they think about. You know, it's, oh, you know, you're like one of our best running backs ever. And I'm like, oh. But clear across the board everywhere else, especially young people, you're the first video game I got, the first Madden game I got. So it's pretty cool. You know, when I got the call to be on the cover, man, it was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And my little cousin called me up, was like, you know, cousin, you're like on the cover of Madden. And I said, I was like the high school number one player. Like, you were with me there. You were with me at Bama. You know, you were with me when I got drafted. You were with me when I won the MVP. And you, all you think of is Madden. He's like, but now it's real. I'm like, okay.
It's so funny, man. It's so true that what resonates, especially with younger people. Although I will say, it feels like the Madden cover is maybe even a bigger deal now than it was back. What year was that, Chris? Was that like 05 or 06?
07. I was Madden
07. 07. Okay. Yeah, because I remember that distinctly. That was actually, you know how I remember that? That was my last year as a player. And I got cut, and I was somewhere like on a part-time job, and the kid was playing Madden, and I said to him, you know, go to the Buffalo Bills, go to the starting left guard. And he's like, looking at the video game, looking at me, like, he goes, Mom! The mom goes, what? He's like, this guy in our living room is on the video game. I was working for my father-in-law's propane business on a job, and the kid was like, and they were like, Sean, wait, what are you doing here? I was like, I kind of got cut, unfortunately, but that is awesome.
You should have told him that was the Bills off-season program, you know?
yeah, exactly.
For the Bills.
So that's amazing, being on the cover of Madden. And what's really cool is that there's now an award named after you. I think I heard about this for the first time last year, maybe the year before, but it's the Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year Award. Tell me, like, how did this even start?
Man, so Mike Griffin, who was the president of the Football Writers Association, so they write all the writers for college football, you know, all get together and they, you know, they do all kind of awards and stuff like that. And they're writing all the articles that everybody reads that love college football. Well, he was Alabama's beat writer when I was there freshman year, and I was redshirted. And so everybody would be like, man, Mike, why are you always talking to this freshman running back that's not even going to play? And he's like, he's carving up the number one defense in the league. Like, I just want to ask him, what's he seeing? And so Mike and I became good friends. Mike leaves and goes to work for Tennessee. And that's my junior, senior year. So I tell him he missed the great years, you know. Then I go off to the pros. And then he goes to, I think, the Michigan State. And then he heads up to Georgia. So he's at Georgia now. And he calls me up about 6 years ago and says, hey, you retired. I'd love to get you involved with college football. You want to help me write out the freshman All-American team? And so we'd watch games and we'd talk about it. And I would talk with some of the other writers and all the conferences. And we basically picked out the freshman All-American team. Well, then the next year, he says, hey, you know what would be really cool? Let's name the freshman player of the year after somebody that's still like relevant, someone that had a great career in college and pros, that everybody would know their name. And I was like, man, let me think about that. Let's go. I'm thinking just like I was like when we were picking the All-America team, let's go name some guys and write them all out and kind of figure it all out. And he said, Sean, it's you. He goes, I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, like, he goes, you're just kind of always quietly like under the radar, like, you know, like I told y'all, like I was the number one player in high school, but I got the Bama and they're like, oh, we don't know if you're any good. I'm the number one player in high school. You know, then I go do my thing and break all Bama's records and all American. And then, you know, get to the draft and they're like, ah, we don't know if he's really going to do. Okay. And then I get to Seattle and, you know, still, you know, win the MVP and all those great stats and 99 touchdowns in 5 years. And people still like, was he really that good? I'm like, what are we doing here? But it's my life. I'm kind of always like under the curtains, you know what I mean? And so Mike and I, we picked that. Trevor Lawrence was our first winner. Kenneth Gainesville out of Memphis, he was the second winner. Who was our third one? Will Anderson for Bama. Yeah. It's in our first defensive player freshman. And then it was Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end. Last year was Drake May. We've picked five great players. And we always say, we don't see your talent just jump off the screen. And then I always tell them, because I'm so young, I need a little bit of character. You don't have to be Mother Teresa, but I can't have you be a goober. You know what I mean? So it's talent, character, being an ambassador to your university, other words, the school likes you. And then the last one, you know, the word is being a legend, which means that we think you're going to be an NFL talent. And we've picked, you know, five great winners. Drake's been awesome. Will was awesome. Brock's been awesome. You know, we couldn't be more proud than Trevor, our first winner, you know, and the job he's done. And we're off to a great start this year, and it's going to be really cool to see this year's winner.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. You know, it's funny because you played for maybe the most high-profile college program, not necessarily when you were there, but obviously it's Alabama. And Right. Then you played for an NFL team that is kind of under the radar because of where they're located in the Pacific Northwest. Beloved up there, obviously. Yeah. I guess I'm curious, like, which one was cooler? Like, playing for Alabama or playing in the NFL for the Seahawks?
It was night and day. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you walk into the hotels in Alabama and you had a funny story. I went 3-1 against Auburn. You know, it's a big game for Alabama. And my sophomore year, lady walks up to me. I'm 81 years old and I'll die a happy woman if y'all beat Auburn. And that was the only time we lost. I never saw that woman again. I was like, oh no, what have I done? You know, like, ma'am, I'm 19. What are we doing here? You know? So that pressure, but that, you know, us winning the SEC championship, playing in the Orange Bowl my senior year and, you know, being ranked 3, 4, 5, but, you know, up there the whole time, those were just awesome years. You know what I mean? Like when you're riding that train and it's winning and you're one of the faces of the university, it's awesome. So then I go from there to Seattle, and we laugh now because when Russell and Marshawn and all those guys, Richard, all those boys, I give them the keys to a Bentley. You know what I mean? Like, but when I got there, I think we had three winning seasons in 25 years. And it was like 84, 88. And then I think they might have went to playoffs like 99 right before I got there. So it was like 3 years where they had been wondering, so then I get there and it's like old college, small college that we practice at. And we were just, I remember calling my brother the first year, my rookie year, we were 6-10. And I said, it's going to take a little longer than I thought, but we'll be in the Super Bowl. And he's like, what's going on? I was like, dude, this is night and day. So it was really proud. I leave in the hats, going to the winning the division 4 years in a row, playing in the Super Bowl, to turn the program around was just night and day from coming to Alabama, where they're already the cream of the crop, no matter what. It's like, hey, and also Bama, so to be able to be a part of turning something around, it had a grinding sweetness that was really awesome. And like I said, I retire and then we pass the keys to Russell and Marshawn and those boys, and they go and finish the deal a couple years later. So it was really sweet to go from people coming to Seattle, getting some good seafood and winning a game, to coming up here and knowing they got to fight for their lives to even be able to play with us there. So it was really cool.
Funny too, because I remember Sean, when I played for the Cowboys, there was so many people at the hotel, home game or away game, and it was 2002. Sean, we were terrible. I remember thinking, like, do they know we stink? Like, we were 5-11, and yet they looked at us like we were Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. We Emmitt was still on the team, so maybe that was part of it. But it was funny. What's not funny is taking into consideration any beer other than Labatt Blue Light. Absolutely delicious. Anytime I hang out with Sean, which is never, I drink Labatt Blue Lights with him and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All right. Sean, they said in this note that you have 13 kids. There ain't no way you have 13 kids.
I do. We just had our last one July
How do
23rd.
you know it's the last one?
I'm just meaning like it's the last one that we've had. We had three while we was in Seattle, three girls, and then we came over to play with the Redskins, now the Commanders, and we had our first boy and second boy, and then I just kind of closed my eyes. I looked up and we got 13 kids, So it's wild, man. A lot of work, and just like a good football team, you hope you're better. Your stars, which has to be the older kids, they got to kind of get the whole team moving in the right direction, and that's the only way it makes it work.
How many are you gonna go for? Like, when are you gonna be done here?
I think we said six, and then and then I don't know what keeps on happening, So we are at 10 girls and three boys, and we were at five girls and three boys, and we're like, man, wouldn't it be cool to get like four boys? And we've had five girls in a row. So we don't know. We don't know what's happening,
I don't know what's happening either. I have two daughters, and that is the craziest thing. 10 daughters.
Yes, it's wild because I have. I was raised with four older brothers. And so I knew nothing about girls, knew nothing about anything, emotion, ups and downs, and just girls being girls. I'm like, oh, this is a lot.
Oh man, Sean. I ask every guy this, retired guy, mainly because I'm curious, but also, you got the ball a lot. You had a lot of touches in your career. How do you feel overall orthopedically, Sean?
I feel pretty good. There's I the year 06, I got twisted up under a pile, and so I remember dislocating my kneecap, but when I hit the ground, it kind of slid back in place. I missed a few games. It sounds really grimy, but it wasn't that bad. And but so that knee, I can feel like if you're on an airplane or something like that. But overall, man, like as many carries as I took, it was I'm feeling really, really good,
It's funny looking you up. I didn't realize you didn't run that fast of a 40 time. You weren't like a huge back,
you just had like a slashing style to you. I don't know how, you know, how you describe yourself, but obviously you were behind a really good offensive line there in Seattle, and that certainly helped, but you were like perfectly made for that zone scheme and for those runs in Seattle. You just had an awesome slashing style that I can just picture in my head to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I was really good at being me. You know what I mean? So this would always try to tell every player, no matter what position, you got to go figure out what you're good at. I think the best thing I had good vision, but I was really good at stopping and starting before everybody else. And so if I could get you to slow your feet down, then you lost. And so, you know, high school, college, and pro, if you watch the film, it almost looks exactly the same. I had great coaches when I was younger. And then every coach that was at, they fit the schemes around me. And so, you know, we would get up in that zone, but then we would turn around and we'd come downhill with a weak ISO and fall back on the middle linebacker. And it would be me one-on-one with the linebacker. And I basically play around the table. I'd get him to get in the B gap and I'd slip out the back door. I'd get him to go out the A gap and I'd cut all the way back. And I was just really good at just bursting through the hole and being good at me. And I feel like I had this fear gear to outrun whoever was chasing me, you know what I mean? And so that's where the speed comes in. Cause you're right. When you clock it, you're like, it's fast. I mean, it's NFL, you know what I mean? But I just played the game within my thing. And I think that's also why people would be like, is it really that good? You know, it's because I just kind of did me and it's turned into a bunch of touchdowns, you know, and turned into a bunch of,
you know what? It's like when people, I blocked for Emmett in 02.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people like, he was not big. And at that point he was not fast.
Mm-hmm.
And our offensive line was bad,
yeah.
But he always got yards. I don't know how he did, Sean. Like, he would always find a nook or cranny and get 4 to 6 yards. And yet, I don't think he gets the respect he deserves because he didn't have the highlight runs, you know, like Barry Sanders or some of these guys. You're somewhat like Emmett in that you were like almost like boringly efficient at times, if that makes sense, you know, just so consistent, so good. Last question for you. Speaking of running backs, I know you probably get asked about this a lot, but it's kind of sad what's going on with your position in the NFL and what the NFL thinks about it. Thankfully for you, you know, you got your contract and you played before this was the mentality, but there's like this belief out there, Sean, that running backs just aren't worth big contracts anymore. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's sad because if you have a good running back, then your team is going to win. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it always comes there. If you get a guy that can get yards in, and so what's the problem is they think that they can plug anybody in. And so, like, you know, you mentioned the zone read, some of that read option stuff that kids start now in Pee Wee leagues is destroying the dot tailback. Like, hey, you give me the ball enough times, I'm going to figure out how to make you guys a winner. It's because now the quarterback's kind of reading it all the way to the last second. He's like, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And the hole's wide open, where if you got the ball from 7 yards deep, you got to go figure it out. And if you can't, the next running back's going to. And so it's taking like some of the give it to me 20 times and I'm going to get you 100 yards kind of guy out of the way, because now you can just find a speed guy or a jump cut guy and do that. And so it's made some of the better running backs have to go play linebacker or go play safety at young ages. And that's also shifting the game too. But I was really fortunate that the Seahawks decided, because, you know, they paid me my contract at 29, you know what I mean? So I tell the story all the time. I was going to the Pro Bowl and, you know, 20 touchdowns and getting paid like $400,000. So when they gave me the big $60 million deal, it was like, thank you, more than like, we want this out of you. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, you know, all this stuff has already been happening. So they were like, yeah, hey, thanks, Sean. We're a different organization and we want to thank you. So like, that's how it felt. And, you know, but they don't do that no more. And so like, they're in a tough place. I think that the NFLPA, the NFL, they should just come together and say, hey, if we're going to underpay the running backs, let's create the bonus scale that doesn't hurt the team, their salary cap, and doesn't hurt the franchise, by saying, if we're going to underpay these guys, let's escalate, but bonuses that doesn't hurt anybody. So in other words, if Sean rushes for 1880 and 28 touchdowns, he's not going to get this base contract. He's going to get paid, you know, $18 million for that. You know, I think that that's how they could do it. You know, if he wins the rushing title, win score, then it could be the whole league chips in and says, hey, winner takes all for these kind of stats and awards and places. I think they could do it that way. And then it balances out. So then guys don't feel like, man, I'm putting all these yards up and it don't win. You know, it's Josh Jacobs. You got Dalvin Cook, you know, all those guys wrestled with Saquon Barkley. You know, they all wrestled with, what are I going to do with my team? You got three of the best players, you know, unsure where they're going to play. That's crazy. And so they got to get that fixed, because part of teams, you know, fantasy football messed a lot of it up, but part of great teams is your guys on that team and you can cheer for them for a couple of years. The way it looks, running backs might be able to bounce around year after year, which totally changes the whole look.
Check out the Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year Award. Sean and his wife, Valerie, by the way, also have an awesome, awesome professional leadership program. Yeah. You can check out the Stand Together Foundation. And they've got 13 kids, which is just unbelievable. Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Great to see you and talk with you.
No doubt, brother, man. We'll talk soon.
Love Sean Alexander. Love talking with guys that played when I played. And love Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. My wife actually turned me on to these. It's amazing. Every fresh, never frozen meal, that's important, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat in just 2 minutes. Lots of options, right? Calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie. If you're like me and my wife, right, we're busy, we're always doing stuff, the kids have something, whatever, right? To be able to get a fresh, healthy meal in 2 minutes, that is clutch. I highly recommend you check out Factor Meals. I'm gonna take a picture, maybe put it on social media, of the Factor Meals in our fridge, because that's what we eat. Head to factormeals.com/RTFP50 and use code RTFP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code RTFP50 at factormeals.com/RTFP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ducks Takes.
All right, Ross. Eagles, they trade defensive end Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets for a 2026 third rounder that could turn into a second.
He'll have to play 67.5% of the snaps and get at least 10 sacks. I would think if you're the Jets, you just make sure he doesn't get that many snaps, right? Like 65%, 66, you know. I would think that the Jets would be able to configure that in a way so it's not a second round pick. But I said this on social media, Jack, at Ross Tucker NFL. Makes a lot of sense to me for both sides. The Eagles basically have four or five, depending on what you consider Zach Bond, edge guys locked in now. And Reddick's going to get a new contract from the Jets. And it's going to be probably $10 million more a year than Bryce Huff gets. So the Eagles believe, I think, that they got the younger ascending player for a lot less money than the older, potentially descending Reddick. Jets are in win-now mode. The GM and head coach are both gone. Makes a lot of sense.
Dallas police are reportedly searching for Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice after alleged hit-and-run incident.
Been a bad offseason, right? You have Rashee Rice, Cam Sutton just turned himself in, the former Lions cornerback. It's I really dislike seeing these things. I don't even know what to comment on them other than you got life exactly where you want it. Why are you doing silly things like this?
And 49ers signed restricted free agent tight end Brock Wright to a contract offer sheet. Lions have 3 days to match. The Dolphins signed Raheem Mostert to a one-year contract extension, while Jaguars give star linebacker Foye Oluokun a new long-term contract.
Former Yale safety Oluokun getting paid again, and deservingly so. I'm so happy for him. He's been fantastic. Brock Wright, you don't get a lot of movement on the restricted free agent market. That tells you what the Niners think of young tight ends that can block. And Mostert, I love Mostert as a player. Always have, always will. Fast and breaks a lot of tackles. Other than that, maybe Wednesday we'll get to the winners. Sorry, winners. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out to MyFrontPageStory.com. By far the best gift I've ever seen. You can give a loved one. I mean, are you kidding me? Birthdays, anniversaries? Mother's Day will be here next month. Get on it. MyFrontPageStory.com. BackOfficeSchedule.com. SteakhouseSports.com. HumanHeadNYC.com. Sporticulture and Pizza Boy Brewing.